You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It's fucked.
Yeah, it is.
The Wire.
In the aftermath of Cyclone Gabriel, there was widespread damage to homes across affected areas in the North Island, with the housing market across the whole of Aotearoa facing massive subsequent reductions. Around 170 homes were deemed unsafe to enter, with almost 5,000 others facing other forms of infrastructural damages. I spoke to Maud Lush, a lecturer and PhD candidate in the Faculty of Law at the University of Auckland, to discuss the impacts to housing caused by Cyclone Gabriel and Aotearoa's preparedness for housing impacts in the event of natural disasters. 1 year on, what impact has Cyclone Gabriel had on housing in Aotearoa?
So Cyclone Gabriel was a large-scale event, and it caused the destruction of a lot of homes across the North Island. So if we're looking in terms of numbers, 10,000 persons were displaced due to the event. We also have data from the government from January 2024, and according to that data, 470 houses nationwide received a red sticker, so which means they cannot be rebuilt because they pose a risk. Also, 2,400 houses received a yellow sticker, which means they will need repair. In terms of insurance claim, so far private insurers received claims that evaluated up to 1.7 billion, and this makes the event the country's second largest disaster after the Christchurch earthquake. But that is if you only approach the impact of a large-scale event in terms of numbers of property destroyed. You also need to account for the devastating impact losing a home to disaster has on mental health. So often people suffer from long-lasting impacts due to delays, stress, insurance claim. And it's also important to note that it's not only about the impact on housing, but also the housing issues arising out of the government disaster response. Often housing is treated as just a property, so purely made of bricks, but under human rights law, housing is a place to live in dignity, security and peace, and housing also has social and psychological components such as affordability, habitability, cultural adequacy. So this shows the complex nature of housing and how the layers of housing can be impacted by a disaster such as Cyclone Gabriel. So yes.
Are the long-term impacts limited to areas that were directly hit by Cyclone Gabriel, or have other parts of the country faced housing impacts as well?
Also, to my knowledge, the impact on housing was limited to areas that were directly hit by the cyclone. But prior to the cyclone and still today, Aotearoa, New Zealand is facing a housing crisis. So it's not a mystery. And the housing crisis severely impacts aspects of housing, such as adequate housing and affordable housing. And both the United Nations Special Reporter on Adequate Housing, so following their country visit, it was in 2021, and the New Zealand Human Rights Commission in their 2023 report raised the alarm regarding healthy and affordable housing. So for many low-income families, it's a dream they will never be able to achieve. The issue is that the country has so far not given full effect to housing standards as protected by human rights instruments. So Aotearoa, New Zealand is party to the International Covenant on Economic, Social and Cultural Rights, and the covenant protects housing. But the country has refused to intervene to regulate the housing market. So the situation was already dire prior to Cyclone Gabriel, and with each large-scale event, you have additional pressure that is added to a housing market that is already very strained, extremely strained.
Going off of what you just said, how have, say, lower income families in Aotearoa been affected by the housing impact caused by Cyclone Gabriel?
So low-income families. I don't have the exact data to hand, but we already know from the Canterbury earthquake, low-income families, and especially Maori Pacifica and individuals with disability, were overrepresented in lower social economic groups, and they resided in areas that were the most severely impacted. And that was from a report from the News and Human Rights in commission in 2013. And the Ministry of Maori Development has undertaken an analysis to understand the risk of climate hazard on Maori communities. And they found that they face increased risk, not only due to the localization in the country, but also because of a higher proportion of Maori whānau at risk of poverty, health disparities, adaptability issue. And so far in the disaster response, the government has failed to incorporate social economic indicators such as income and ethnicity to address the needs of those low income and the most vulnerable effectively.
You mentioned the Christchurch earthquakes. Were there similar impacts to housing after that event?
Yes, so it's still quite early to have like a full and clear picture, but you had similar housing issues arising out of both the earthquakes and the cyclones. For example, following the cyclone, the availability of new renters dropped and the cost of renting increased in the Auckland region, because you had homeowners that also entered the market in search of temporary renters whilst the houses were getting fixed. And obviously this impacted the Auckland region housing supply and demand. And this could have been predicted because the Canterbury earthquake similarly impacted the housing stock. So between 2012 and 2013, weekly rental prices in Christchurch increased by 12%, whereas in Wellington that year it only increased by 4%. And last year in Auckland, median weekly rental prices, they reached a record high of 610 per week. So that was one issue that was quite similar. Another issue is the lack of community participation. So you must know that in a disaster context, meaningful participation of affected communities is an essential step in the housing process, because it enables individuals to shape and influence the trajectory of the recovery process, and it allows individuals to cope with the disaster because they are taking out of a victim position. Following the Christchurch earthquake, the Human Rights Commission noted that communities were not given the opportunity to have a say in the zoning process that took place, and also the Crown offer, so the buyout process. And those decisions significantly impacted their lives. They also complained about ineffective communication, and it created additional stress. For Cyclone Gabriel, so the Chief Human Rights Commissioner also labelled the efforts of the disaster response as too centrally driven, and it resulted in the exclusion of local communities. And a year on from Cyclone Gabriel, hundreds of people are still stuck in limbo and are waiting on council decision about their home. So those are the two similar aspects we can draw out from Cyclone Gabriel and the earthquake.
So would you say that New Zealand was better prepared for housing impacts after the Christchurch earthquake?
Well, what strikes me is that Aotearoa New Zealand has not learned lessons from the Christchurch earthquakes and is not better prepared to address housing impacts following a large-scale disaster. So I'm going back to affordability and availability issue. New Zealand knew that the housing stock, especially in the Auckland region, would be impacted. And they knew that from the experience from the Christchurch earthquake. And at the time of the earthquake, the government did not agree to put in place rent control measures to prevent price gouging by landlords. So they favored a market-led recovery, giving the upper hand to the landlords and basically sacrificing the most vulnerable in the process. And again, following Cyclone Gabriel, the government remained silent on the matter of affordability and accessibility, despite the call of community organizations such as Renter United to adopt an immediate rent freeze to prevent shameless landlords from profiting off natural disaster. And as a result, affected families accepted higher price accommodation while paying off a mortgage and face rising costs of living. And even more concerning was the temporary accommodation service agency advice at the time. So it's a government agency, and they told affected families to accept any available rental accommodation despite the exorbitant rent and price, because there was nowhere else to go. And New Zealand will never be prepared to address housing impact following disaster if the country refused to tackle the root cause, which is to give full effect to the right to adequate housing according to human rights standards and to protect the right domestically. So far, Aotearoa New Zealand has bits and pieces of legislation that protects certain aspects of the right to housing, but the country does not protect the right to housing itself. And there is an unwillingness from the country to adopt a human rights responsible behavior when it comes to housing.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.